Chapter 11. Lizzie's Groceries. Lina spent all that day in Mrs. Murdo's house, which was just like theirs, only neater. There was one couch and one fat chair, covered in fuzzy striped material, and one big table, only Mrs. Murdo's table wasn't wobbly like theirs. On the table was a basket, and in the basket were three turnips, each of them lavender on one end and white on the other. Mrs. Murdo must have put them there, Lina thought, not just because she was going to have them for dinner, but also because they were beautiful. Lina sat sideways on the couch with her legs stretched out, and Mrs. Murdo covered her with a soft, gray-green blanket. "This will keep you warm," she said, tucking it around Lina's legs. Lina didn't really feel cold, but she did feel sad, which was, in a way, the same. The blanket felt good, like someone holding her. Mrs. Murdo gave Poppy a long purple scarf to play with and made a creamy mushroom soup with potatoes. And all day Lina stayed there, snuggled under the blanket. She thought about her grandmother, who had had a long and mostly cheerful life. She cried some and fell asleep. She woke up and played with Poppy. The day had a strange but comforting feel to it, like a rest between the end of one time and the beginning of another. On the morning of the next day, Lina got up and got ready to go to work. Mrs. Murdo gave her beet tea and spinach hash for breakfast. "The singing's coming up soon," she remarked to Lina as they ate. "Do you know your part?"
"Yes," said Lina. "I remember it pretty well from last year."
"I rather like the singing," said Mrs. Murdo.
"I love it," Lina said. "I think it's my favorite day of the year."
Once a year, the people of the city came together to sing the three great songs of Ember. Just thinking of it made Lina feel better. She finished her breakfast and put on her red jacket.
"Don't worry about Poppy. I'll take care of her," said Mrs. Murdo as Lina headed for the door. "When you come back this evening, we'll talk about how to proceed."
"Proceed?" said Lina.
"Well, you can't live by yourselves, just the two of you, can you?"
"We can't?"
"Certainly not," said Mrs. Murdo sternly. "Who's to take care of Poppy while you go off delivering messages? You must move in here with me. I have an empty bedroom, after all, and quite a nice one. Come and look."
She opened a door at the far end of the living room, and Lina peeked in. She had never seen such a beautiful, cozy room. There was a big, lumpy bed covered with a faded blue blanket, and at its head, four plump pillows. Next to the bed was a chest of drawers with drawer handles shaped like teardrops and a mirror attached to the top. The carpets on the floor were all different shades of blue and green, and in the corner was a sturdy, square table and a chair with a back like a ladder.
"This will be your room," said Mrs. Murdo, "yours and Poppy's. You'll have to share the bed, but it's big enough."
"It's lovely," Lina said. "You're so kind, Mrs. Murdo."
"Well," said Mrs. Murdo briskly, "it's just common sense. You need a place, I have one. You go on now, and I'll see you this evening."
3 days had passed since Lina and Dune had seen the man in the pipeworks, and there hadn't been any special announcements. So if that man had discovered a way out of Ember, he was keeping the news to himself. Lina couldn't understand why. As Lina ran through the city with her messages on her first day back to work, it seemed to her that the mood of the people was even gloomier than before. There were long, silent lines at the markets, and knots of people gathered in the squares, talking in low voices. Many shops, more each day it seemed, displayed signs in their windows saying "closed" or "open Monday, Tuesday only." Every now and then, the lights flickered, and people stopped and looked up in fright. When the flickering ended and the lights stayed lit, people just took a breath and walked on. Lina delivered her messages as usual, but inside she felt strange. Everywhere she ran, she heard the same words like a drumbeat in her mind. Alone in the world, alone in the world.
It wasn't exactly true. She had Poppy. She had friends. And she had Mrs. Murdo, who was somewhere between a friend and a relative. But she felt as if she had suddenly gotten older in the last 3 days. She was a sort of mother herself now. What happened to Poppy was more or less up to her. As the day went on, she stopped thinking, alone in the world, and began thinking about her new life at Mrs. Murdo's. She thought about the blue-green room and planned how she would arrange her pictures on the walls. The one she'd drawn with her blue pencil would look especially nice because it would match the color of the rugs. She could bring her pillows from home and add them to the ones on the bed, and then she'd have 6 altogether. And maybe she could find some old blue dresses or shirts and make pillow covers for them. The blue-green room, the orderly apartment, the meals cooked and the blankets tucked in cozily at night, all this gave her a feeling of comfort, almost luxury. She was grateful for Mrs. Murdo's kindness. "I am not ready yet to be alone in the world," she thought. Late that afternoon, Lina was given a message to take to Lampling Street. She delivered the message, and as she was coming back out onto the street, caught sight of Lizzie coming out the door of the supply depot. Her orange hair was unmistakable.
"Lizzie!"
Lina called out. Lizzie must not have heard her. She kept on going. Lina called again.
"Lizzie, wait!"
This time it was clear that Lizzie had heard, but instead of stopping, she walked faster.
"What's the matter with her?" Lina wondered.
She ran after her and grabbed the back of her coat.
"Lizzie, it's me!"